you know, basking in the love of God. You can do that all day long. You know, it's just, this God is so good. Finding that first love and knowing how great He is and how wonderful He is. One of the things that He told His people, even the Old Testament and in the even in the New Testament, He basically told them, continue to remember the things that God has done for you. And every time you do, it's just like this reawakening of what God has done. And it encourages me to know, to see how great God is. And sometimes I forget. But when He reminds me, hey, remember when I took you, remember when I saved you? Yeah, I remember. I remember that only you could have done it, you know. Only God could have done some of those things in my life. You know, I messed it up so bad that only He could have saved me out of those times. And even when I was hurting so bad, He came and He rescued me. And it was just incredible. Last week, I started talking about what God wanted to do in our lives. What He wanted a people for. The basic thing that He wanted a people for, created for, was He wanted a people to love Him, right? I mean, He said, I want a people to be able to worship Him, okay? So He created Adam and Eve. And so when He created them, He says, I want this. And so then, from then, He says He made them have purpose in their lives. And from the beginning of time,
turn to Genesis,
chapter 1, verse 26. From the beginning of time, this is what God said. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Now, He says our image, which is plural. So who was there? Jesus was there. It was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They were all there. And the angels. Let us make man in our image, but it was in God's image, make after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Okay? He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? So, go over to verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so that's what He says. He says, you take dominion. Okay, now, do you remember when He sent the Israelites into the Promised Land? He says, now don't take it all at once. He says, take it a little bit by little bit. He says, why don't take it all by once? He says, because if you take it all at once, then that will overtake you. So take it a little bit at a time. This is your promised land. You're going to be able to take it, but take it the way I tell you to take it. So he totally, totally desires that what? We take dominion over the things that he tells us to take dominion over. All right? It's what he says. Okay? So, now, we've established that. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Very important in this taking dominion. Because what does Satan do? Satan clouds our thinking to believe that the very thing that we need to take dominion over is stronger than us. And you know what? It's kind of true. It's a half-truth. The thing that we're to take dominion over sometimes are bigger than us. Consider David and the giant. Okay? Was the giant bigger than David? Yes. But who was David fighting? The enemy of the Lord. So it wasn't about the size versus the big man versus the little man. It was all about who David was versus who Goliath was. And who David was supposed to be versus who the enemy was in relation to what David was fighting for and who Goliath was, the obstacle to what God was trying to do. Do you understand? So David was trying to move in God's anointing, and Goliath was the obstacle. So God is going to move you in places and to take on Goliath in your life, and you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. In this world, you will have what? Trouble. There is no escaping. There is just no way to get out of it. You are going to have trouble. But there's this one word. It says, in this world, you will have trouble, comma. And then there's one word. It says, but. Which negates the first part of that sentence. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And he says, that is the part that you should focus on. Not on the part that you will have trouble, but on the part that says, I have overcome the world. Now, what does that mean? That means that, what is our focus on? God did not give us a spirit of fear. Why? Because the trouble is so big? The giant is bigger than us? The size factor? No! He says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world? Arthur has overcome the world? No! If Arthur has overcome the world, we're in big trouble. I haven't. I will not. I can only conquer the things that Jesus has already conquered in me. And he's teaching me. He's going, okay, Arthur, this is what you're going to do. Okay. 12 spies go into the land of Canaan. 10 spies come back. Ooh, they're big giants in the land. Oh man, they're huge. We cannot overcome. 2 spies come back and said, this is the land of milk and honey. They got clusters of grapes that only two men are able to hold. A cluster of grapes, we see them in the grocery store. They're about this big, right? Just a cluster of grapes. In the land of Canaan, they were so big that they were just a big cluster. Two men were carrying them on a stick between them. They were that big. The land of milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb were going, that's ours. God is giving them to us. What are we waiting on? Come on, God said we can have it. What are we doing? We're all cowering here in fear because, oh my gosh, there's giants in the land. Again, God did not give us a spirit of fear. But He gave us a spirit of what? Power. Power. Love. And a sound mind. Some translations say of self-control. Why the difference between sound mind and self-control? Well, this I'll tell you why. You don't even have to answer. I'll tell you. Self-control is this. My mind is running rampant. 10 spies. Giants in the land. Don't you think Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants in the land? You know they did. I saw the same giants he did. Do you think they sized them up? Ooh, they're big. I'm small. My weapon? Huge. They're huge. Mine's little. But they controlled their thoughts. They controlled their thoughts to be able to say, my God is able. My God can. My God did. They weren't relying on themselves. They were relying on the Word of God. Not on who they were, but on who God is. Because they knew what? God was bigger than the giants in the land. So what? They said, let's go. Let's go. It's a green light. Now, spied the land? I did. It's going to be work. It's just going to be work. We're not going to be able to get around it. Neither are we. We're not going to get around it without some work. We're going to have to lay down some foundation. We're going to have to get on with the work of God. We're going to have to seek the strategy of God and find out what does God want us to do in these situations. Sometimes we're going to get ahead of God and God's going to slap our hand. Stop it. I didn't tell you to go there. Okay. I got the hint. I won't do that. Sometimes He's going to say, stop sitting. Get up and go. That's probably what He tells me more than don't get ahead. That's my thing. You know, my thing is stop sitting, get up and go. We all have faults. That's mine. The issue is there's work to be done. We're not going to get out of it. In this world, you're going to have trouble. If we focus on the trouble, we are going to continue to not use our faith to its greatest power. You understand? We're not going to be giving God credit just this week. Just this week. How many of y'all had trouble? You don't need to raise your hand. Just think mentally. I had some trouble. Okay? You had trouble. I'm going to raise my hand because I did. I had trouble. Did you pray about it? I did. Did it work out? It did. It actually did. So, did I have a bad week or did I have a good week? I would say I had a good week. Why? Not because I had the trouble, but because I had conquered. Because I had victory in that week. As someone who had trouble, did you have trouble? Yes, I did. Did you find a solution to your trouble? Well, yes, I did. Did you have a good week? Did you have a bad week? Had a bad week. Why? Well, I had all this trouble. So what did you focus on? Did you focus on all the trouble? Or did you focus in on the victory? Big, big paradigm of what someone's faith is. So what is going to happen? Now let me tell you. What's going to happen is you will continue to have trouble until you understand what faith building is. You can go to the next level because you're going to always have trouble as long as you're alive. It's built into earth. It's built into this life. It just always is. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you get to go on to the next level where you learn how to cope with the things that are going on in your life. It's called maturity. It's called, hey, I can do this. I can navigate this thing in life. Okay? All right. So once they get into the promised land, what happens? Well, they just start defeating armies, and they take over the promised land. Now, was it sunshine and cookies and milk the rest of the time? No, Israel falls again, and you know, y'all know the story. But what? God will teach us lessons. Turn to Revelation 5. We kind of ended this last week, but in Revelation 5, end of the book, end of the Bible. Do what? Oh, you said. It's a good thing we have it up there. Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse... My eyes are pretty bad too, huh? Verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seal." Who's they talking? Who's you? Jesus. "And you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." So, who is that? "And they shall reign on the earth." It's us. "And we shall reign on the earth." What is reigning? That means ruling, reigning and ruling. He's talking about us. The sacrifice has been made so that we can reign. Do you feel like you're reigning? Yeah. Again, don't raise your hand, but are you reigning in life? Are you moving in a life that is reigning over the things that you have? That you have under you, that you have responsibilities for? Well, look at that. If you are doing it the ways of God, then you are to reign as God would reign. You are the spokesman for God because you are doing things the way God wants you to do them. You have become, what it says here, the priest. You have made them a kingdom and priest to our God. What is a priest? Even in the natural, even in the Catholic Church, a priest was to be a conduit. It's to be that one that says, I go and confess to a priest, and the priest was supposed to make offerings for me to God. I did not have the ability to go to God myself. So the priests were supposed to do that. In the Old Testament, that's what priests did. They made sacrifices to God because I couldn't do it. So they sacrificed the animal I brought, and they would sacrifice it to God. And then that's what it was due. But then he says, I'm going to do away with that. I'm going to tear the curtain in half, and now you get to go. And you get to go, and you get to go, and all of you get to go to God yourself. Isn't that great? I get to go. This morning, I hope all of you felt the love of God. Isn't that great? That didn't happen in the Old Testament. There wasn't the ability to happen to that in the Old Testament. You can't. I can't either. There was just this direct connection. There was no go-between. God said, Arthur, I want to love you today. Love me. I want to love you back. It was just that intimate. To me, it was. I was just sharing with you guys. I hope y'all felt it. I hope it was as real to you as it was to me. Now I was just wallowing in it. Now I was just like, ooh, yeah, this is good. Now, he says, you are a priest. Let's take an example that Quentin is unsaved. Now, he's probably the most saved guy. But let's say he was unsaved. All right? Now, what's my job? My job, if I'm to be a priest, I now have to take his life and be the conduit to God. So, Quentin, what's going on in your life? Well, you know, this is happening. Well, let me tell you how to get rid of those things in your life. It's called Jesus. It's called His ways. It's called the love of God. It's called all those things. I am now becoming a conduit of God's love and His mercies and His comfort and all of those things that God wants for him, and then directing him straight to God. And he's going, wow. And what happens? Well, he feels it. He's going, man, this is great. This is wonderful. How do I get more of this? Well, glad you asked. God wants to enter your life, and he wants you to be a son to him. Okay, I'll do that. How do I do that? Well, and then we have stories in there about Zacchaeus. What do I do? And God tells them, I'll let you know, Rick is a huge conduit for kids. He has a special anointing for kids. Why? this may be a bad example, but he's a Pied Piper for kids. I mean, they gravitate toward him. They just like, he'll be sitting down, kids will just start crowding around him. Why? Because he's so encouraging to those kids. And they'll just they love him. They just love him. Why? He's such a conduit for God's love. And he'll just speak to them. He'll speak to them truth. I've seen it. I'm just going, wow. I'm amazed. I'm simply amazed. But I know what he exudes. God's love. And I know that they see it. They sense it. They may not tag it, know what it is, but they want it. Here is the issue. All of us have it. All of us have some form of it. He didn't make us all the same. He just made us like, this is what you do, Arthur. This is what Quentin does. This is what Jimmy does. This is what Claudia does. This is what you guys do. Why? Because you are to have dominion over everything on earth. Why? Because he's setting up a kingdom. Doesn't this make sense to you? It makes huge sense to me. Doesn't this make sense to you? Take your talents. Take that which he has given you so that what? You'll have dominion, able to move and establish him in this place. Yes. Say amen. Amen. There you go. Turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. He's talking to them about being a living stone and a holy people. He says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have y'all tasted that the Lord is good? Oh, I have. Oh, man. I have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? If you're living stones being built up into a spiritual house. Now, is this spiritual house ecclesia? Yes, it is. Is it this building? No, it's not. It's not this building. If you're a living stone, living stones, you're a living stone out there. You're a church. You're members of a church. At Crane ISD, at First Community Federal Credit Union, at the city gates, at everywhere that you're employed, you are living stones there. Why? With what? With the very things that God has given you. You're a priesthood. It is really a miraculous thing. It is something that God wanted to do. I had mentioned to you about ecclesia, about what it really meant. We talked about ecclesia being we had defined it church as what? Ecclesia means church, but in actuality, when Jesus said the word ecclesia, it meant municipality. It was like city hall. And he says, I will build my city hall and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. My government, when I set up my government, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think, just think about that and put it in contrast to our government today. Let it just kind of blow up your mind right now. Seriously. Think about that. If you were to compare the government of God versus the government of the United States today, and all that's coming out about elections and selling stuff to Russia and all of that stuff that's going on in our world today, and says, when I bring my government, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What in the world could happen? We're talking about the kingdom of God versus this, what we have today. How does that happen? How do we get that to happen? I think we've been impotent on how we get that to happen. I think we have said, well, let's go out there and save the world. That's not bad. I think we should. I think God says, I desire that all men be saved and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think we should do that. I think that's a mandate. But I also think we shouldn't stop there. I think we should put people in office who not just are Christians, but people who are sold out to God. People who believe and who refer to God on a consistent, daily, and moment-by-moment basis. That could be one of them. In fact, I believe that is one of them. The reality is, if we have men, if we have people in office who are sold out to God, who are priests for our city in that dimension, in that reality, who are Joshua's and Caleb's, ready to take a promised land, what could we be truly? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Seriously. I'm not talking out of opinion here. I'm talking about promises of God. Up for your consideration. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4. this is an interesting little scripture, because you have to read it the way Paul intended. I have applied all 1 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? What he's saying is, you guys are bragging about who you guys are, and you say you came to it by yourselves. That's what he's saying. He's going, yeah, you think you all that. And you think, well, I just raised myself up by my own bootstraps. And he's going, but you received it from us. But you're saying that you didn't. You did. So stop lying. That's what he's saying. And then he gets into some sarcasm. Already, you already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. For we are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we are in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poor. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We labor and working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. And then he gets serious. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For thoughts you have countless guides in Christ. You do not have many fathers, for I have become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out, not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in a spirit of gentleness? What do you wish? He always gives us a place of redemption. He always gives us a place to be able to say, God, I'm sorry. Turn my life around. But he's saying, acknowledge what is true and what is real. And he says, the kingdom of God is not about talk. That's what I think we've had far too much in the church. Far too much of just talk. I want to be able to say, if something is going on in your life, I want to be able to pray for you and it change. I want to pray for you and things turn around in your life. I understand that prayer is not the least I can do for you. It is the most I can do for you. But when I pray believing that it's going to change. Yeah. And so when it changes, I understand there's also responsibility in you. So when I pray, I want it to be powerful and effective. Yeah. In you. That is the life. Not talk, but power. Don't you want power in your life? Tell me. When you pray over your kids, don't you want power in your life? I do. I mean, more than ever. Oh, God. I don't want to see my kids suffer. Don't want to see you suffer. Just to be wrong, I got that pastor's heart. I don't want to see you suffer, especially needlessly. If you don't have to, why? Why do we do that? Well, in James it says, our job is to defeat the works of the devil. How many times has the devil won because Christians were impotent in what they did for another? It makes me sick. It just makes me sick. Because I'm going, why didn't I? Why didn't I? Why didn't I take up that cause? Why didn't I do something about it? Why didn't I? Sometimes it's for stupid reasons. Well, they might have thought this, or they might have thought that, or, you know, it was stupid. The issue is the power of God. May it manifest. I usually ask, can I pray for you? If they say no, who cares? I already have no before it ever gets started. You know? They can say no. Okay? I got other stuff to do. If they say yes, let's believe in the power of God. Let's see what God can do. Turn to Luke 19. It'll be our last scripture. Luke 19. Rule and reign. Luke 19, starting with verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went to the far country to receive to himself a kingdom, and they returned. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said, you are over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man, and you take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, did bring them here and slaughter them before me. God wishes to reign. That's what this says to me. God wishes to reign. And He gives us things to be able to reign with. He doesn't always give us the same. He hasn't given me Let's just put it on somebody else. Rick Joyner, prophet, says, I don't consider myself to be the brightest. I don't consider myself to be the best. He said, but I consider myself to be one who studies hard. And I consider other people to be definitely brighter and smarter. And he says, but for some reason, they didn't make it to the national level. And he says, and I think I just outworked them, is how he put it. The reality is, in this, God has an expectation of us. He has given us certain things in life, and He expects something in return. And that
something in return is
that we give all of ourselves to Him. We have been bought with a price. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. And in that, we are to return something. And what are we going to return? When it comes down to it, what is it that we're going to return to Him? It's His. All of it is His. And so we have a kingdom. And this is our faith. This is my faith, that we give back to Him what He has laid out before us. And there's something in my heart, something for you. Back in Genesis, I read it this morning. Go back to Genesis 1. There's something that you had said to me. It says, and by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, and out of it you were taken. Basically it says, and you will work. You will work for the rest of your life. It is for all of us. I had a conversation with Caleb. And Caleb said, I won't work for the rest of my life. I said, yes, you will. You will work for the rest of your life. And I said, you may not work for Grape Creek doing what you do, but you love working with your hands. You love doing what you do, and you will do that for the rest of your life because you want to. And an image of you came to mind. And I say to you, Jimmy Heath, I say to you that there is an anointing upon you to rule and reign. You have been faithful unto that which has been given you. And you will continue, God will continue to give you those opportunities to rule and to reign in those places. But that has not ended. It will continue to be. Whatever avenue or whatever venue that is, I'm not saying anything that you don't know, or that this is not a surprise to you. What I am saying is that in Philemon it says, that which we acknowledge becomes effective. And so what I'm saying out loud is something that I believe God wants to make effective. And so I desire that all things work to good for those who love God. And this is just one of the steps that needs to be done for that to happen. And so if this is, you know, David was anointed king when he was a young boy. You know, if this is part of the process, then so be it. So be it.
Appreciate that, Arthur. It's a good word this morning. I know that everyone is in a place and doing the work. And let this be an encouragement to all of us in whatever place and assignment we are given. You know, I just think about Cherry on the hospital board. You know, very, very important work. All of us have very important work to do in our personal lives and our professional things that you've volunteered to do or been called into or whatever. So really encouraging. And ruling and reigning, that he rules and reigns through us, you know, that we don't take it for ourselves. And it's a little scary, you know, for me to look forward into what may be in my near future. But I can assuage that fear by saying, it won't be me doing it. It'll be him through me. And if I'm called to be there, he'll be there with me. There's work to be done. I'm willing to be available. And it's not dependent upon me beyond that. So hope that's all encouraging to y'all. And anything else before we go?